Apparently they'd heard about my plan to cancel Trident.
Ah.
It seems that the American defense industry is among the biggest contributors to the president's party funds.
Ah.
Then he said we had a big problem in the East Yemen.
Ah.
I like that, Bernard. I'm not your doctor.
I'm sorry, Prime Minister.
What is this big problem in East Yemen?
Ah.
Thank you, Bernard.
Oh, well, I'll try and find out.
Then he muttered something about St. George's Island.
St. George's Island?
Yes. There is a St. George's Island, isn't there?
Yes, it's in the Commonwealth.
Ah, see, yes, of course, that's St. George's Island. Yes, of course. Anyway, apparently he's afraid that the communists might try to grab it.
What did you say?
I said I'd have a word with the Foreign Office.
What did he say?
He gave a sort of hollow laugh. Apparently the White House thinks that the Foreign Office is full of pinkers and traitors.
No, it's not. Well, not full.
They don't want the Reds to get hold of a strategic base like St. George's Island. He spoke of putting tariffs on British exports to the USA and taxing US investment to Britain, causing a run on the pound.
Well, you're seeing the Foreign Secretary this afternoon. Can't you get him to sort it out? After all, they are on our side.
Who are?
The Americans.
For a moment, I thought you meant the Foreign Office.
Foreign Office worried about then, Dick? Haven't you got the Foreign Secretary eating out of your hand?
Oh, yes, completely, House Trey.
So what's the problem?
The Prime Minister's the problem. He's starting to mistrust our advice when the Foreign Secretary gives it to him. He's even beginning to question Foreign Office policy.
Surely not.
We even see a danger of the Cabinet pursuing its own foreign policy.
But that's absurd. The country can't have two foreign policies.
Quite. And the PM's getting far too keen on keeping the White House happy.
Oh, dear, dear, dear. So, how can I help?
Well, there are a couple of things coming up where he might need guiding in the right direction. One of them is St. George's Island.
Yes, remind me, would you, Dick?
Well, as you know, it's one of the few islands in the Indian Ocean to stay in the Royal Commonwealth after independence.
Oh, yes, that's right. It's quite democratic, too, isn't it?
Yes, free elections and everything. But there's a group of Marxist guerrillas in the mountains somewhere, and we're getting reports that they're planning a coup.
Oh, well, these things will happen.
Yes. They're not thinking of starting it on their own. They're going to be helped by East Yemen.
East Yemen, isn't that a democracy?
Its full name is the People's Democratic Republic of East Yemen.
Oh, I see, so it's a communist dictatorship. And the guerrillas are Soviet-backed, are they?
Yes, and Libyan-backed. So, obviously, we in the Foreign Office are planning to stay right out of it.
Yes, obviously.
We'd only upset a whole lot of frontline African states if we got involved.
And we don't want to antagonize the Soviets at this moment, do we?
Quite. And we just landed a huge contract to build a new St. George's Airport and harbour installation. If we back the wrong side, we may lose the contract.
That's right. We don't mind which side wins, the Democrats or the Marxists.
Why should we? Mm. But you see the problem. If the PM gets into one of his ghastly patriotic Chichilian moods, he may want to intervene, all that pro-British defending democracy.
Oh, I know.
He must understand that once you start interfering in the internal squabbles of other countries, you're on a very slippery slope. Even the Foreign Secretary's grasped that.
So what was the other point?
Yes, well, the Arabs have put down a motion at the United Nations condemning Israel. Naturally, we'll be voting on the Arab side.
Oh, naturally, yeah.
But I gather that the PM wants us to abstain.
Oh, surely not. Why?
Well, something about the PLO starting at this time, faults on both sides, the usual sentimental nonsense. Mm. Sucking up to the Americans, as always. that as far as foreign affairs are concerned, his job is to confine himself to the hospitality and ceremonial room.
I'll do my best. Do you know what happens when politicians get into number 10?
They want to take their place on the world stage.
People on stages are called actors. All they're required to do is look plausible, stay sober, and say the lines they're given in the right order.
Some of them try to make up their own lines.
Don't last long.
Well, the American ambassador had a word with me last night, unofficially.
Oh? About what?
What do you know about St. George's Island?
What do you know about it?
You're the foreign secretary, not me. Do you think there's any danger of a communist takeover?
Well, did he say there was?
No chance at all. No chance at all. Of course, the Foreign Office would have told me. You're sure the Foreign Office always tells you everything?
Well, everything they think I should know.
That's what I'm afraid of. Anyway, the Americans are worried, and we just can't afford to upset them at the moment.
Well, I'm sure we've got everything under control.
Chamberlain thought he had Hitler under control.
Well, Chamberlain.
Eden thought he had Nasser under control.
Are you suggesting the Foreign Office doesn't know what it's doing?
No, I'm suggesting they're not telling us what they're doing.
Well, that's absurd. They always give me a full answer to any questions that I ask.
What about the questions you don't ask?
Such as?
Such as about St. George's Island.
Ah, well, I don't ask those.
Well, just ask them for me, all right?
Well, yes, of course, if that's what you want. But don't forget, once you start interfering in the internal squabbles of another country, you're on a very slippery slope. Anything else?
Yes, I gather we're proposing to vote against Israel in the UN tonight.
Of course.
Why?
They bombed the PLO.
The PLO bombed Israel.
Yes, but the Israelis dropped more bombs than the PLO. No, they didn't.
Well, anyway, it seems to be the fault on both sides.
Well, not according to my advice.
Well, the Americans are worried about it. They want us to abstain tonight.
Oh, I don't think we could do that.
Why not?
Well, the Foreign Office wouldn't wear it.
Are they here to follow our instructions, or are we here to follow theirs?
Now, don't be silly.
Sir,
Humphrey, I'm worried.
Oh, what a bad crisis.
About the Americans.
Oh, yes, well, we're all worried about the Americans.
Foreign affairs are a complicated business, aren't they?
Yes, indeed, Prime Minister. That's why we leave it to the Foreign Office.
The point is, I've got to keep in with the Americans for the next few months if I'm to cancel our huge defense order.
Oh.
And I gather from that reception last night that they're worried about us.
Well, of course they are, Prime Minister, but I think I know of a way to keep in with them.
How?
Don't cancel the huge defence order.
No, Humphrey, I'm determined on that. But we mustn't upset them in any other way. The ambassador said something about St. George's Island.
Really?
Do you know what's going on in that part of the world?
What part of the world?
That part. Part where St. George's Island is.
What part is that?
Well, you don't know, Humphrey. I suggest you go and have a look at the map.
No, I do know, Prime Minister.
Oh, good. Then we both know. The White House is worried that St. George's Island might be taken over by Marxists. Not funny, Humphrey.
No, indeed, Prime Minister. Rather touching, really. Once you start interfering in the internal squabbles of other countries, you're on a very slippery slope.
Sorry, that's exactly what the Foreign Secretary said.
Extraordinary.
And then there's this business of the UN vote on Israel tonight. The Americans want us to abstain.
Well, so it's a question of our maintaining our relationship with the Arabs, the power of Islam, oil suppliers.
Humphrey, I'm talking about what's right and wrong.
Well, don't let the Foreign Office hear you.
Well, if you insist on an even-handed approach, the Foreign Office might agree to your abstaining on the matter of Israel, so long as you authorize our man there to make a powerful speech attacking Zionism.
Surely we should use the debate to promote peace, harmony, goodwill.
Well, it'd be most unusual. The UN is the accepted forum for the expression of international hatred.
What about defending democracy on St. George's Island?
Well, not if it harms British interests by upsetting those whom we wish to keep as friends.
Humphrey, are you saying that Britain should not support law and justice?
No, of course we should, Prime Minister. We just shouldn't let it affect our foreign policy.
We should always fight for the weak against the strong.
Well, then why don't we send troops to Afghanistan to fight the Russians?
The Russians are too strong.
What was that you were saying about law and justice?
Be that as it may, Humphrey, I want assurances set to the democratically elected Prime Minister of St. George's Island that Britain will stand by him.
Well, perhaps you'd like to discuss this with the Foreign Secretary.
Thank you, Humphrey.
Thank you, Prime Minister.
You've been a great help. Bernard?
Yes, Prime Minister.
Where exactly is George's Island?
Shall we look at the globe? There's one in the private office.
Good idea. Well, good afternoon, Luke.
Good afternoon, Prime Minister.
Now, where is it?
So it's here.
In the Arabian Sea.
Right near the Persian Gulf.
Yes, the lifeline of the West. And look, there's Afghanistan, which is now under Soviet control. That's only 400 miles north of the Arabian Sea. If the Soviets ever took Pakistan...
Which they wouldn't.
Well, if they did, they'd control the Persian Gulf, the Arabian Sea, and the Indian Ocean. And the Soviets have always wanted what they call a warm water port.
But there's no risk. They wouldn't invade Pakistan. And anyway, the Americans have a fleet permanently stationed here. The Indian Ocean.
Prime Minister, may I have a word with you about home affairs?
Home affairs?
Yes.
Couldn't wait. We're discussing foreign affairs.
No, Prime Minister, it's rather urgent. Yes, Prime Minister, please.
Oh, very well. Excuse me.
Yes. Is that a bird?
Well, I don't want to be disloyal or anything, but I didn't think it was an awfully good idea to continue that conversation in front of Luke.
Luke what?
Security.
Well, he's your colleague. He's one of my private secretaries. What on earth is MI6 up to, allowing...
Prime Minister, he's not that sort of security risk. It's just that he works for the Foreign Office.
He works for me.
Yes, but he's not only your man from the Foreign Office, he's also their man in number 10. He's a plant.
Oh.
But do you understand?
Yes. No. Are you telling me the Foreign Office is keeping something from me?
Yes.
Well, what?
I don't know. They're keeping it from me, too.
How do you know?
I don't know.
You just said that the Foreign Office was keeping something from me. How do you know if you don't know?
Well, I don't know specifically what, Prime Minister, but I do know the Foreign Office always keep everything from everybody. It's normal practice.
Who does know?
May I just clarify the question? You are asking who would know what it is that I don't know and you don't know, but the Foreign Office know that they know. But they are keeping from you so that you don't know, but they do know. And all we know, there is something we don't know and we want to know, but we don't know what because we don't know. Is that it?
May I clarify the question? Who knows Foreign Office secrets apart from the Foreign Office?
Oh, that's easy. Only the Kremlin.
Bother about St. George's Island is getting rather a bore.
Of course, we made a real mistake 20 years ago when we gave them their independence.
Don't you think I was right, wind of change and all that?
Yes, but not the way we did it. We should have partitioned the island.
Oh, you mean like we did in India and Cyprus and Palestine and Ireland?
Yes, that was our invariable practice when we gave independence to the colonies. It always worked.
It didn't partition always lead to civil war. It did in India and Cyprus and Palestine and Ireland.
Yes, but it kept them busy. Instead of fighting other people, they confined themselves to fighting each other.
Yes, they're rather good there. Instead of having a policy about them.
Yes.
Yes, Bernard.
Sir Humphrey.
Yes, Bernard.
I wondered if I could have a word.
Yes, Bernard.
With both of you.
Yes, what about?
St. George's.
What now?
Well, the PM seems to be completely in the dark.
Good, excellent. Anything else?
Well, I wondered if there was anything he doesn't know.
Oh, I hardly know where to begin, Bernard.
No, I mean anything important.
Well, he has the Foreign Secretary to tell him.
Yes, I know, sir, but he seems to think the Foreign Secretary doesn't know the whole story either.
I should hope not.
Are you implying that the Prime Minister ought to know what's happening?
Well, he is the Prime Minister.
Yes, Bernard, but it's simply too dangerous to let politicians become involved with diplomacy.
Diplomacy is about surviving until the next century. Politics is about surviving until Friday afternoon.
157 independent countries in the world. We've dealt with them for years. There's hardly an MP who knows anything about any of them.
Show them a map of the world. Most of them have a job finding the Isle of Wight.
Surely politicians can't be that ignorant.
Very well, sit down, Bernard. Where is the Upper Volta?
What's the capital of Chad?
What language do they speak in Mali?
The president of Peru.
What is the national religion of Cameroon?
Bernard?
Huh?
You should stand for Parliament.
No, what I mean is, if it's a democracy, shouldn't people sort of discuss things a bit?
Yes, of course, full discussion.
And shouldn't they have the facts?
Of course not. They don't want them. Facts complicate things. All that the press, the people and their elected leaders want to know is who are the goodies and who are the baddies.
The problem is that the interests of Britain, they always involve doing deals with people that the public think are the baddies.
And not helping the goodies occasionally when it doesn't help us.
So we avoid discussion of foreign affairs. Or rather, we keep all discussion inside the Foreign Office. Then we produce one policy for the Foreign Secretary, which represents our considered view. And he can act upon it.
No options?
None.
No alternatives?
None.
What if he's not satisfied?
Well, if pressed, we look at it again.
And come up with a different view?
Of course not. We come up with the same view.
But what if he demands options?
Well, it's obvious, Bernard. The Foreign Office will happily present him with three options, two of which are, on close inspection, exactly the same.
And plus the third, which is totally unacceptable.
Like bombing Warsaw or invading France.
Better still, we occasionally encourage the Foreign Secretary to produce his own policy. Then we tell him that it will inevitably lead to World War III, perhaps within 48 hours.
I see. I'm sorry to appear stupid, but...
Oh. Perish the thought, Bernard.
But in my experience, ministers are somewhat concerned about the effect of policy on domestic political opinion. Now, our system doesn't seem to allow for that.
Of course not. We take a global view. We ask what's best for the world.
Well, most ministers would rather you ask, what's the Daily Mail leader going to say?
Oh, Bernard, we can't have foreign policy made by jobbos like Fleet Street editors or backbench MPs.
Or cabinet ministers.
Or cabinet ministers. We take the right decisions and let them sort out the politics later. Yes?
Excuse me.
Yes, come in, Mrs. Whitmore. Thank you.
And if the Foreign Secretary still won't accept the Foreign Office view...
Well, it's free country, can always resign.
How can you treat the Prime Minister like this? Surely he's right to worry about St. George's. After all, it is a democracy.
Not for long. This is a flash telegram. The East Yemen are preparing to invade in support of the Marxist guerrillas.
That's all.
Yes and no. It's moderately bad news for the government of St. George's, but it's very good news for the guerrillas.
What about the islanders?
Bernard, you're reacting like a politician.
I'm sorry, but what are we going to do to help them?
Nothing.
But what if St. George's appeals to us?
Well, we'll give them every support, short of help.
The Prime Minister insists we help them.
Then we follow the four-stage strategy.
What's that?
The standard Foreign Office response in a time of crisis. In stage one, we say nothing is going to happen.
Stage two, we say something may be going to happen, but we should do nothing about it.
In stage three, we say that maybe we should do something about it, but there's nothing we can do.
Stage four, we say maybe there was something we could have done, but it's too late now.
Afternoon telegrams, Prime Minister.
Thank you. Where's Bernard?
I think it's Mr. Humphreys.
What's this about troop movements in East Yemen?
It's not significant.
American ambassador said something about East Yemen.
Really? I'm surprised you've heard of it.
You don't have to.
Oh, just preparing one of their regular raids in West Yemen, we think.
That's all right, then. Nothing for us to worry about.
Nothing at all, Prime Minister.
He said something about St. George's Island, too.
Really? Educated man. Or an American.
Is there a problem there?
No, Prime Minister. Just the normal local squabbles.
He seemed worried that it might be subject to a communist takeover.
Americans always are.
Luke!
Yes, Prime
Minister. You read this? We voted against Israel and the UN last night.
Yes, Prime Minister.
But I gave express instructions that we were to abstain.
I think not, Prime Minister.
I said quite clearly to the Foreign Secretary that I felt very strongly that we should not take sides.
That's quite right. The Foreign Secretary noted your very strong feeling.
But he did nothing about it.
With respect, Prime Minister, he did. He asked our UN ambassador whether we should consider abstaining.
What did the ambassador do?
He said no.
Do you mean the Foreign Office can simply ignore the wishes of the Prime Minister?
Certainly not, Prime Minister. No. They take full account of them in coming to their decision. But events move rapidly. There were important factors with our relationship with the Arabs last night that were not known to you when you took your view. It wasn't possible to get through to you in time.
I'm on the phone, you know.
It wasn't thought sufficiently important to wake you at 3 a.m.
It was extremely important. The White House would do its nut.
Well, I suppose I could arrange for you to be telephoned before every UN vote, but there are two or three a night while they're in session.
What could I do to reverse this?
Nothing, Prime Minister. That would be most embarrassing. Once government policy has been stated, it can't be retracted.
Luke, I'd like to talk to the Israeli ambassador.
I think not, Prime Minister.
I want to talk to the Israeli ambassador.
If I may say so, Prime Minister, it would be rather unwise.
Luke, can you hear me? Watch my lips. I want to talk to the Israeli ambassador.
Of course, Prime Minister. If that is your wish, I will contact the Foreign Secretary and Sir Richard and then telephone the Israeli ambassador.
I don't want the Foreign Secretary. I don't want Sir Richard. I just want the ambassador.
Prime Minister, I must advise you that it would be most improper to see him without the Foreign Secretary present.
Why? What do you think I want to talk to the ambassador about?
Well, presumably the vote at the UN.
Really? That would be most improper.
Oh.
My daughter Lucy wishes to spend her next long vacation on a kibbutz. Or perhaps I should say she's at the University of Sussex, another kibbutz. The ambassador and I were at the LSE together. So I thought I'd invite him along to the flat tonight for a drink. 6 p.m. would be convenient. See to it, would you, Luke?
Yes, perhaps.
Let it upset you, Jim. We're used to it. It happens all the time.
I told them to abstain.
Well, it's well known that in the British Foreign Office, an instruction from the Prime Minister becomes a request from the Foreign Secretary, then a recommendation from the Minister of State, and finally just a suggestion to the Ambassador, if it ever gets that far. Thank you. Bachheim.
Cheers.
Well, Jim, what are you going to do about St. George's?
You know about that?
Obviously.
Not a serious problem, is it?
Isn't it? Well, your information must be better than mine.
Surely mine comes from the Foreign Office.
The Israeli intelligence says that East Yemen are going to invade St. George's Island within the next few days.
What? So that's the connection.
Well, your Foreign Office have agreed with East Yemen that they'll make strong diplomatic representations but do nothing. In return, the Yemenis will let you keep your airport contract after they're taken over.
There'll be uproar.
But that's only the start. I happen to know from our ambassador in Washington that the Americans are going to support the present government of St. George's.
In the UN?
No, in battle on St. George's Island. They'll send in an airborne division backed up by the 7th Fleet.
The Americans invading a Commonwealth country? The palace will hit the roof. That would look ridiculous. Why didn't the Americans tell me?
They don't trust you.
Why not?
Because you trust the Foreign Office.
Oh, indeed. What can I do about it?
Well, Jim, you have an airborne battalion on standby in Germany that is not now needed for the NATO exercise.
How do you know?
I know. Now, if you were to send it to St. George's Island, it would frighten off East Yemen. They'd never dare invade. Of course, it's not for the Israeli ambassador to advise the British Prime Minister.
And he wouldn't take your advice anyway. Get me the Foreign Secretary, and then the Defense Secretary, please. I wonder if the Foreign Office didn't cover themselves. Maybe they did. They gave you several boxes tonight. I've been through them all except this one. I wonder if this could be it. Northern Indian Ocean Situation Report. It's 138 pages. It must be it. Hello? Yes, Ronnie. I want the President of St. George's Island to extend an invitation to Britain to send an airborne battalion on a goodwill visit. No, no, just a friendly gesture. Goodwill. Yes, at once, please. Thank you. You seem to think that 800 fully armed paratroopers was an awful lot sent on a goodwill visit.
No, it is just an awful lot of goodwill.
Oh, yes, Paul, you know you have an airborne battalion on standby in Germany. Yes. Never mind how I know. Well, since it's not being used, I want them to fly straight off to St. George's Island. Sort of between Africa and India. And what will is it? They're just showing the flag. They have been invited. Yes, leave in 6 hours. Yes, an instant goodwill visit. Get the press office to announce it at once. No. Leave me out of it. A routine visit. All right? A routine surprise visit. Well, say they were invited earlier, but the NATO exercise got in the way. And now they're not needed. They're going anyway. All right. Nobody knows it's not true. Press statements aren't delivered under oath. We're off at midnight.
I gather that there's an airborne battalion in the air.
Sounds like the right place for it.
I gather it's on its way to St. George's.
Yes, it should be landing in about 2 hours' time.
Quite. Isn't this all rather sudden?
Well, I had a sudden friendly impulse, Humphrey. I wanted to spread a little goodwill.
There's not a great deal of goodwill in the Foreign Office this morning.
Really? Why not?
Well, it might be construed as provocative, sending a fully armed airborne battalion into a trouble spot like that. An explosive situation.
Explosive? But I thought you said there was no problem there.
Yes, indeed. There is no problem, but it's explosive, potentially.
Why?
But moving troops around is always potentially explosive.
Well, moving troops around Salisbury Plain, is that potentially explosive?
There are a lot of unexploded shells on...
Thank you, Bernard. Do tell me why the Foreign Office is worried. I'm fascinated.
Well, it's a very sensitive part of the world, unstable.
They're always telling me how stable it is.
Indeed, it is. It's a sort of unstable sort of stability.
Excuse me, Sir Humphrey.
Yes, sir.
Foreign Office telegrams, Prime Minister.
Thank you. Oh, gosh, rather a lot.
Yes, the somewhat unorthodox visit to St. George's seems to have stirred things up.
I see. East Yemen is moving its troops back to base.
Yes, Prime Minister.
Decided not to invade West Yemen after all.
So it seems.
Well, this is nice. The Americans are delighted by our little visit to St. George's Island. That's good, isn't it?
Excellent, Prime Minister.
They say they've got a whole airborne division ready if we want reinforcements.
Reinforcements of what?
Reinforcements of goodwill.
Prime Minister, may I inquire where the impulse for this little escapade came from?
Yes, of course you may. It came from Luke.
Luke?
It was you who put together that masterly Northern Indian Ocean situation report, wasn't it?
Well, yes, but it was arguing that we needn't do anything.
Oh, come off it, Luke. You can't fool me.
What?
I can read between the lines. Some politicians have a feeling for foreign affairs, you know. I could tell that you were warning me that St. George's Island might need our support.
Oh, yes. Well, no, actually. Only in one paragraph on page 107.
It was enough. I can take the hint. Anyway, I'm giving you full credit for it. I told the Foreign Secretary to tell Sir Richard that it was your warning that sparked it off.
No, it wasn't.
And I don't think I'm giving away any secrets when I say that you are going to be rewarded.
Rewarded?
You're going to be sent as ambassador to a very important embassy.
Which embassy?
Tel Aviv.
Oh, my God. No, you can't send me to Israel. Think about my career.
No, that's absurd. It's an honor. Promotion.
Yes, but you'll upset the Israelis. I mean, they won't want me. They know I'm on the Arab side.
I thought you were on our side.
Well, of course, yes. No.
We need somebody like you in Tel Aviv to explain to them why we're always voting against them in the UN. Don't we, Humphrey?
Yes, Prime Minister.